in all of our parenting, whether fathers or mothers, and a lot of it should come, as we'll talk, in the times we celebrate. But we also need to remember that the best joy of life and the best joy of parenting is getting to fulfill God's will, to be a source of life for the family that God has granted us. And that's really what today is about. Whether we're a mom or a dad, whether it's the perfect father in heaven or whether we're trying to be that father here on earth, that God has a calling for families that brings joy and really brings healing in this world. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it's a time where Moses is trying to have a talk as a dad to the people, and he's the leader of the people, and they're about to enter into a new season. Deuteronomy is the word for second law, and it's the second time, 40 years after the first giving of the Ten Commandments, that Moses is walking with the new generation. He's saying, this is what you need to do to be faithful and live in God's promises, because God is about to take you into a promised land, and you're going to have to worry about walls of Jericho and armies to face and how you're going to have food. And there's all these things to talk about. But Moses says there's one thing to be faithful to, and that's where we get Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, which is known as the Shema, the hear and listen, that Jews to this day recite this passage, the first few verses, and they recite it every day because it's the one thing they need to remember as they walk in the land. And whether we're concerned about the national scene, the global scene, or our own personal communities, it really all comes back to what we're doing in our families. Because God is a God of family, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a God of family. And whether it's from our family of origin or the family of God that he's bringing us to, God's making family. And it's in family that he does his most powerful work. So whether you've opened your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6, or whether you're turning it on in your phones, we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, and just encourage you, let the Spirit of God speak to you in a fresh way as we ourselves enter into a new season of summer. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." On the outline, it's you shall impress them on your children. "And you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," there's that picture of the generations of families, "to give to you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that there would be a joy today, that you are the one giving us rest today, causing us to reconnect to what is most important and most life-giving, the greatest thing we could do in this world, Father, to pass on to our children and to serve our families in such a way that it will be impressed upon their hearts to love you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Teach us this day by your hand and by your word. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. We want to talk, as we're beginning the summer now, how do we help our family grow closer to God and to one another this summer? This is a fresh season for you and I. And last week, we talked about how do we grow closer to God this summer in our personal lives. And today, we talk about how do we grow closer and help our family grow closer together in God. Now, it really comes down to this word impress. It's in the NIVs, like impress this on your children. And it speaks of not just saying words or teaching information, but it's what does it take to come together to impress something? There's got to be an experience. There's got to be not just a mind, but everything comes into a moment of understanding. And we don't just get a piece of information that we forget. We're kind of changed and shaped by it. Now, I don't know whether you're an empty nester and you feel like you've done a lot of your parenting already, but I want to encourage you to hear this word because there are words you need as you continue to impress upon your children in the ways that will be right for your family and your situation. We want to impress. We don't want to demand. We don't want to just teach information. We don't want to lecture. We want to impress on them the love of God, because it's all about learning to love Him with everything we are. And then also the law of God that comes from that love. Maybe you're a grandparent here today, and you've got such a great influence. And part of this summer, maybe for some parents who are pretty exhausted, is there some ideas that you can bring some rest, some reconnection, and some renewal to that family? If you're married without kids, there's a important to take these principles and think about what you're doing with your spouse, because it's a fresh season of growing closer to God and one another. If you're just a single working professional right now, I want to encourage you. These are important things both to bring into your family of origin, but to challenge yourself with and how you can help this in other people's lives. Now, for me, this is my group. Right, this is my family. This is who the Lord said, Sean, you need to impress this on your family. And it's a joy for me to have these years, as I've got the 19 to 9 age group, and yours may be different. But you know, if you ever get an email from me and you see my little signature at the end, it says Sean Franco, and then it says this: grateful follower of Jesus, husband, dad, and lead pastor of Cornerstone. Because that's my way of remembering what's most important and where my leadership and the greatest thing I need to care about is. I'll be going to Ethiopia next month, and I get the joy of doing a lot with you. But if I'm not getting from God's grace the ability to help these five people know the Lord and impress it on them, then the rest is, you know, it's just what it is. Now, as parents, I've got to say this. Hey, it's always 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's not a perfect parent out there, right? And we need to remember that the grace of God is about the day we're in. Today, there's grace to do something that can be part of impressing on our children the love of God and the law of God in their life. So don't live in condemnation. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I've noticed about myself. Sometimes, because I'm a parent who's always working and correcting and setting up and working, and sometimes when my kids say, hey, we love you, Dad, or we're proud of you, or thank you, it's almost hard to receive because I'm filled with so many critical parts of my own parenting that I can't just receive, hey, good job. Like, hey, thanks for what you're doing. And so I want to encourage you as you hear this today to just receive good news and to live in the grace that, you know, in the end, all of our stories are the same. It's 5 loaves, 2 fish is what we're given. And then after that, God's got to do the rest. And we do it with prayer and joy. And every once in a while, you know, we'll try whatever we can do to impress our kids. But then sometimes they're just not impressed no matter what we do. And so Caleb's like, no, not impressed. So what we really want to do to impress our kids is not that, but we need to do this right here. And it's what we're going to talk about today. We want to this summer, and so I'm saying this summer because this is something we're going to try right now, you and I, to do, is to impress God's love and law in their hearts. There's 4 things we want to do this summer, and it's not a formula as much as it's just kind of an art. We want to stop, teach our kids to stop and see the goodness of God. We want to help them see it. We want them to celebrate the goodness of God, and in the hard times, we want to help them seek the goodness of God. And so we're going to talk about those 4, and at the end of me kind of going through the lesson, we're actually going to bring 3 different sets of parents up here, and they're going to give you some of their thoughts about what it looks like to do this in their life in some different situations that they're in. But it really begins with this whole idea of stopping, which none of us are very good at. And really, the idea of a summer Selah is recognize a fresh season. Recognize a fresh season of grace. And even though you feel like, if I start this, my family's going to go, who are you? And what'd you do with our real dad or our parents? You know, just allow the Lord to say, hey, you know what? It's just a new season, and we want to grow closer to God, and I want to grow closer to God. And the scripture says we're supposed to impress on our children the commandments, and it's supposed to happen as I sit at home, when we walk along the road, when we lie down, and when you get up. The interesting thing is it talks about moving around a lot, but the concept is in all that we're doing, there's a stopping and there's a seeing of the goodness of God. Like, in what you're doing, don't forget to stop and say, hey, by the way, that's God right there. He's good right here. Aren't we grateful right here? So we want to look at this idea of Selah. Last week's sermon, you can get online, and I went through this whole concept pretty in detail. But to Selah is to stop and to focus and be filled with the one we love and with the truth we confess to live by. It's 71 times in the book of Psalms. Stop and consider. Don't just know it up here. Is it getting to your heart? And this season, as we get into the summer, we need to stop and consider a few things that the Bible says are what God's doing in our life. And so I want to encourage you that these are the three things that you want to somehow, in the next week, talk with your family about, whether it's spouse, whether it's grandkids, whether it's your kids in a way as they're going for the summer and you're talking about some things you're praying for them on. But we need to remember to stop and consider and focus on that God has made us a family. You know, we live in a world that is very individualistic. It's very narcissistic. It's all about ourselves. And so our whole pop culture is centered around it. You know, if you're kids and you're watching, if you're young kids and you're watching Disney, I mean, Disney is predicated on this idea that the kids are always the heroes and the parents are always the nitwits, you know, who like don't even have a clue what's going on. And so this idea of like, I'm just a kid by myself figuring out, it's like, no, even our kids programming that's family friendly doesn't actually talk about family all that much. It really just talks about the kids and how they're the center of the universe. Well, you go to the flip side and you get to your primetime TV or you're watching Netflix and it's all about these people who are hooking up and have all these relationships like they don't have any family in their life. Like, what happens when you actually have to bring somebody home? Or like, what happens when your family's sick and now who you are matters and how you take care of them? There's no concept of that in our pop culture. It's all about the individual. And yet we need to remember that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of family, and he puts us in family, and his healing's done in family. And so that's something you should remind your family about this summer. Hey, you know what? God's made us a family, and contrary to how we feel most of the time, grace is supposed to be the best thing our family's about. Now, grace is tough in our family because it's our family, and so they see us at our worst. And so a lot of times, we live more in condemnation or insecurity or isolation from one another in what's really important. Why? Because we feel like I've already hurt them, they've already hurt me. And we've really got to say, hey, welcome to a new season. Let's just have a new start. And seasons are there to have new starts. And in that, let's remember that grace is supposed to be there. You know, as families, we're supposed to be each other's biggest fans. We're supposed to be the ones who believe in each other the most. And even as we got to correct, and even as things are messy, and even as things I've got to walk with you about and correcting you, I'm still your biggest fan. Grace is supposed to be what a family's about. And by the way, because we're in a family, we see we need it. So let's just embrace it and get over ourselves a little bit and say, you know what? It's just okay. It's okay to live in the grace of God and say, let's have a new beginning. Now, what we want to stop and think about with those two thoughts are, hey, every season is important to God. This isn't just a time to thankfully not do school, if that's the case, but we want to make the summer about recognizing that God's got us here for a reason. What good thing could God be doing? And so what I want to encourage you to do in the next week with your family, whatever that looks like, and then however you could do it, is talk about some goals and some get-togethers. All right, some goals and some get-togethers. Hey, what's a goal for our family? What have we been waiting to do that we just haven't had a chance to do? We need to take this summer and do it. We need to take some time to enjoy one another and celebrate one another. You know, no matter how exhausting your stage of life is, at some point you're going to miss it. I mean, especially as a parent. I mean, you know, you may be in that newborn phase and that toddler phase, and you're just like, oh, Lord, please help me. You know, I used to say I love my kids, and I love it when they sleep. I really love that, too. It's just I need a break. And that's great, but you know what? One day you get past it, and you're like, I kind of miss that because there's good things. And so we need to recognize as a family, hey, let's enjoy our family now. Let's not enjoy it after this financial situation and after this project and once this stage. Don't do that. You know, that's the enemy stealing from you. Because that season, there's a gift in it, and the enemy's stealing and deceiving you into thinking there's no gift in this season. Let's just do this one word called survive. Don't let that happen. Stop and say as a family, man, God's got something good for us this summer. It may be a hard season, but it's still a good season. And then you want to think about a goal for each of your family members. And that don't make it some big stress thing. Make it just like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we got to do that, if you got to do that? For our kids, you know, we're not going to beat Ethiopia last year. We took them to Ethiopia last year. So we're like automatically, like there's no way this summer is going to be as good as last summer. But we're taking, what can we do? And so for each of our kids, we kind of found out something that they're kind of passionate about. And so like one of my daughters, it always thought it'd be cool to like be on a farm for a little bit. So we got someone in church who has a farm. We're like, hey, she's going to like 1-2 times a week. She's going to go work on the farm. We wonder how long she thinks that's cool, okay? But she's going to do it. And it's going to be like, dude, you remember that summer when I worked on that farm? Yeah, that's what we're after. That's a goal. That's a good season. We got another daughter who's kind of interested in like physical therapy and stuff like that. So we're trying to see if she can volunteer at a Christian therapist PT guy. And just like, hey, man, why don't you find out a little bit about it? One of our sons kind of interested in, like an instrument, and grandma plays the instrument. And so, hey, maybe you could get with grandma a little bit. It's just like, it doesn't have to be expensive. It's about relationships and being a little intentional and finding some things that say, man, you want, your goal is this. You want, you know, 6 months from now, you want to say, hey, remember when we, yeah, that's what you want. And you want to just say, Lord, in however we can do it. Because God has something good for that season. And then you want to make sure you got some get-togethers, all right? How are we going to track it? How are we going to talk about it? How are we going to pray for it? And so the idea of saying, you know, let's, if nothing else, Tuesday night or this time on Saturday, this is our get-together time, man. We're just going to have a good time as a family, or at least if we got some goals or some stuff we're doing together for God. Man, we're just going to make sure we have some time for that. Maybe you got people who spread out, and you just got to figure out whether it's a phone call, a Skype, or, you know, a text or something like that. But I want to encourage you, we've got to stop and believe that there's something good in this season. And instead of just surviving, we just ask God, show us what it looks like to thrive in our home and in our situation. So it starts with that, and then we want to help our kids see. We want them to see the goodness of God. And, you know, you ever had that time where the first time you saw a new car, a new model, and then after you saw it, the rest of the time on the road, you saw the car again and again and again? It was, you had to create an initial awareness in order to see what was always there from the beginning. And what we need to do when the scripture talks about help them see it, help them see it, help them see it, what you want to do is figure out for your family or for your marriage, what does it look like to help me be able to see what good is going on there? You and I live in a world that is addicted to bad news. And the only way any media outlet learns to get you to click on their page is to give you some outrageous bad news that you need to hear about right now because your life's probably about to end. And so it is, news is predicated on how am I going to get you to be fixated on what I'm saying? And so it's shock and awe. It's shock and awe. It's how can I trouble you so much that you need to read the rest and find out how you're going to be okay. And so we live in this current, in this culture that is always talking to us about bad news, and you've got to be countercultural with that. You've got to do something to help your family recognize this thing called good news. because it does actually exist in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is actually active in your life right now if you'll see it. But what we've got to do if we're going to get that awareness is we've got to somehow get around the Word of God. Because if I see it in the Word of God, I will then start recognizing it in my circumstances. But if I don't see it in the Word of God, if it doesn't first come to me, I'll miss it, just like I miss that new car that's been all the time, but I never see it because there's nothing in me that's learning to focus on it. So whether it's the Genesis Bible reading, and that's in your bulletin, we're going to do it Monday through Friday. We're going to take a chapter a day. And that Genesis is all about family. It's about the first family. I mean, that's what God wants to create. It's about how that family line has a lot of problems, and yet the redemptive story of Jesus Christ is running all the way through it, not just for themselves, but to bless the world. And you know what? That's a great thing to do this summer, is read a chapter a day. It's in story form, so it should be easy to read for any reader. And then you can just do what's in the bulletin and what we taught on last week. What's the promise in this chapter I've seen? What picture of God am I looking at? What's a problem they're facing? What's a principle to live by? And then number five, what's most important? What's God's word to me? What's my personal message? Because God's got me reading this for a reason today. But if we'll start to teach our family to recognize good things, then they'll look up in their life and they'll start recognizing good things. And then, for us as a family, you saw the ages of my family. So we like to read a book every summer because it's kind of the only time I can, get them to read when they're not inundated with other reading. So here's a bunch of books that we're considering reading this summer. We're not going to read all of them. We're just going to choose one. But what we do is on Friday at the last day of school, we half date it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then we went to Cold Stone Ice Cream because you need to celebrate the end of a season. So we went, we ate ice cream, and then we drove over to Lifeway Christian Bookstore, and here was the thing. All right, kids, everybody go look around at books, and everybody bring back three or four that you think might be a possible read for us this summer. So everybody walked around the Christian Bookstore, and one of my kids brought back Tim Hawkins' Life of a Chuck Wagon or whatever. I was like, that's probably not deep enough. But we ended up looking through these books. A few of them are my suggestions. And these, we narrowed it down to about six. And I had three of them, and then three of them we got from the bookstore. And what my kids are going to do this week is they're all going to thumb through all of them. And then, by secret ballot, they're going to tell me what their first is and what their second is, because I want them influenced, all right? And then after I get the secret ballot, we're just going to read what I want anyway. But they'll feel part of the process. No, that's not true. That is not true. They actually, whatever they pick, we read. And we read a great one last year off of their pick. But look at some of the ones. So three of them are kind of the corner, the top corner, the Josh McDowell about intolerance, the end of me, living the real life with Jesus and upside world, the I will, kind of making some decisions. The kids kind of, they picked, we brought 9 or 10 of them together. Then we chose those three. I brought in the other three. I think emotional intelligence is super important. That's the most successful people in life understand what they're feeling and how it's affecting them in the moment. Living in the Spirit, just the idea of how do I help my kids understand the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives instead of only reserving it for the altar in church services. And then the other one that at least I'm going to read as a side with my older kids is Love Into Light, the gospel, the homosexual in the church, because I think my kids have to understand how are they going to relate to their friends and what does the gospel say and how can I love someone and at the same time hold on to a truth of healing and rightness with God that God calls all families to live in. And so we're going to have that conversation. So I'll let you know which one they pick, but that's what they're doing. Of course, Caleb's my 9-year-old, and so we've got a different book for him that we're going to kind of do on the side, and it's going to be great. But if you take some time to focus on the goodness of God and truth of God, and maybe you just do it as a marriage, as empty nesters, you can do that through the distance of time, God can use it to do some really good things this summer. Now, this is the one that we tend to miss the most of. We tend to be so working on the issue of obedience and teaching law that we forget to celebrate. And it's a tremendous mistake because there's no such thing as grafting into the heart the love of God without connecting it to the joy of God. And so you need to take some time as a parent and as a household to be careful not to forget God in the good stuff. Don't forget them. Don't forget that part of who God is in Zephaniah 3:17 is that he's a God who celebrates you and has great grace. And so you want to be a family that somehow celebrates as well. You want to have joy, and you don't want to always connect God to all the hard stuff. You want to connect him to the good stuff because he's the creator of it. And so you want to do that through the different ideas, because you can teach all the Bible classes you want, but in the end, sometimes this is the best moment that you have as a family. Right, Berts? Right, Dan and Nancy? You know, this was our family summer kickoff, which was an absolute blast. And thank you to all of you who volunteered this past week. And it was just fun. It was really fun. And we got to be in here, and we heard a great message, and we saw salvations, but we laughed a ton. And you know what? That probably accomplished an openness to the gospel and the word of God that 100 sermons about why you should be open to the gospel and the word of God are never going to do. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that there's some celebration in our families. Take time to rejoice. These are some of the things you should think about when you think about celebrating. One, how do we celebrate each other? You know, there are not too many school-age children that are going around saying, by the way, brother, I just want to encourage you of how much you're helping me and that you've turned the music down low and you've allowed me to watch every show I've asked for. That's not really happening in our homes. And so you've got to help them be encouragers. So one of the things Sarah saw on Focus on the Family is called the encouragement jar. And the idea is the goal over the summer is every week, by the end of the week, whenever we start and end it, you've got to have written one encouraging thing about something you saw in somebody else in the home by the end of the week. And then when we have our family get-together time, we pull out the encouragement jar and we take some time talking about it. Because we want our family to celebrate one another, not just compete with one another or complain about each other. And we've got to help lead the way in that. We need to celebrate our family, and whether that's the vacation you're going to do or some fun times, take some time to invest. And when you do it, just don't make it all about the things you're spending money on. But really try to take some time to focus on, isn't it good that God's giving us this time together? And then during the summer, your house should be the coolest house for all the friends to come to. It just should, because they should go to you and feel celebrated. They're like, let's go to their house, man. They, like, love when we're there. You know, I'm always amazed. I mean, I feel like, you know, we usually get back from our kids, Dad, they really thought you were cool and stuff like that. I'm not cool at all. I'm just excited about them. I'm just like, dude, it's so great to see you again. I'm so glad you're here, man. And I'm like, welcome home. You're part of, you know, why? Because I'm just excited. So that translates to I'm cool and I'm not at all. I'm just excited about them. And so you should be that. Part of our plan is how we're having friends over based on what our schedule can allow. And when they're over, man, we're gonna treat them good. We're going to put a little energy, even though we're tired from our day of work, and be pretty pumped that they're in our house. So we take time to celebrate. Our parents will talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But the final one is seek, because not all God is good, but not everything we do go through is good. And so what we need to do is we need to remember that our time of teaching our kids to seek God in the hard stuff or in the mundane stuff is one of the most important things we do. And so there, you really want to just help them develop a rhythm. Fear the Lord your God. Keep him first. Serve him. Don't follow other gods. Stay focused on him. Here's my most practical advice on how you help your family seek God. And it might not be what you're thinking, because we've already talked about reading and things like that. Boundaries and bad moments, okay? One of the things we need to do for our family is we don't just want to have such a wide-open summer that it's just going to devolve into brainlessness and really just really bad attitudes. You don't want to do that. Now, it's the summertime, so you want to give them leeway. But what I'd encourage you to do and what we're going to do this week with our family, we've already told them to be thinking about it, is, hey, we're about to have some conversations about, okay, it's summertime, everybody's home, people are chilling out a little bit more. So, let's talk about how much TV we're watching every day, how much on the media or on the phone we're on, and what time we're waking up during the day. And we're not just telling you, let's talk about it together, and let's come up with some boundaries about our free time. You know, part of our boundaries, we got a 9-year-old son. It's like, you got to be outside at least an hour today. You know, just go outside. Well, I don't have anything to do. Go hug a tree. Be outside. Look at the grass. Come back in a little later. Okay? Just be outside. But I could build a whole world, Minecraft. There's actually a real world already out there. Go explore it and try it. It's nice. They come in. I got stung. I don't care. You know. So what we want to do, though, is we want to have some boundaries. Don't make it rigid. So, like, literally what we're going to say is the kids are going to basically form the idea of this is how much TV I think, whether it's on my phone or whether it's on my iPad or whether it's on the screen, this is how much I think I'm going to really watch. And we're going to build into that little bonus time. Once a week, you want to go an extra hour? Here it is. You can play your card, your little bonus time. We're not going to do it every day, but we're giving you a little wiggle room, too, because we want you to enjoy yourself. And so we just want to take some time to do boundaries. And then the bad moments, don't forget that your bad moments are really your best moments as a parent. You know, it's your chance to show grace, to say, I'm sorry. I mean, if you can communicate those things, if it's a tough pressure situation, let God use it. You know, Sarah and I talk all the time that we cannot parent our kids around God. Because as parents, we want them not to have any problems or any fears or any pain in their life. And it's a mistake if you try to help your kids avoid all that stuff. We've got to parent them through and keep it to only what is necessary. But part of bad moments is just remember that God's stretching you. And it's, you know, my kid's not going to make my God their God if they don't understand that he really is God. Just how it goes. And I can't do that. So I can't play God. I've got to let God be God to them, not me. So don't forget that bad moments are not always punishment, and promised lands with giants in them aren't just about giants. They're about promises that God's trying to teach us. That's what we do in those moments. There was a study by a Fuller Youth Institute about 3 years ago that gave a survey to Christians in college who actually kept their faith. And they did a little research and said, what did parents do that helped their kids keep their faith after they were out of their home? And here are some of the things that they identified, and just food for thought. They taught them identity in Christ. That wasn't a Bible study. That was like, hey, you know what? You didn't do well in the game, or those friends aren't treating you right, but don't forget who you really are. You know, in our home, all the time we talk about hurt people, hurt people. So that person, if they hurt you, that's not because it's true what they said about you, just because they're hurt and they just only feel better by putting somebody else down. This is kind of how that goes. And so we remind them of who they are in Christ. Emphasize character over academics. Model daily relationship with God, that idea of how am I trusting in God. Don't avoid tricky subjects, because if you don't talk to them, somebody else is. So guess what conclusion they're coming up with if you ain't part of the conversation? So what you got to do, it's like, well, Pastor John, I don't know the answer, and you know, it's tricky. Well, do what I do. Just grab a book that says it pretty well and just read it together, and you don't have to come up with big, brilliant answers. Just like, yeah, that seems pretty right to me. I mean, just have a place, because you don't want to avoid those. Talk about doubt and struggles to believe and encourage individual thought. That's the one, I'm the pastor, I'm the father who wants to fix things. So a lot of times, if my kids start experiencing doubt, I like, you know, let me fix it. No, you don't have to doubt. Here's the answer. It's like, I do want to guide them with some good things to process, but I want them to figure it out for themselves, because they've got to do this, else it's not their faith. By the way, this will be on the website for the sermon, so you don't got to mad dash write all this down. You can just pull it back up. Don't be afraid of science and culture, all right? That's a big one that I see. And really, with the holiness movement, sometime has been its Achilles heel. The holiness movement said, absolutely, don't conform to the world, but then it basically taught us to be afraid of the world, and we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. So you need to know spiritually where your kids are and what they can handle. But like in my house, because of spiritually where I think we are, like we're not afraid of secular music. If I find a good song that I like, I play it for the kids and we all sing it and talk about it. And the reason we do it is because I'm just trying to teach them that, yeah, that's a good reflection of the message of God here. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, if you're married, you can sing that song. Besides that, you can't sing that song. That's just not, you know. You know, nothing inappropriate, but what we're trying to do is like, we try to recognize the good things of the world, not because we're trying to fall in love with the world. We're trying to do the opposite. We're just trying to teach them that it's not all that impressive, but, you know, there's some good things that God can use in it. Again, spiritually, it depends on where you are as a family, when that, how you live that out. But they're saying kids that go to college and are still strong in their faith, that's one of the hallmarks of what's happened for them. 7, create time and space for conversations. 8, listen and ask questions. The smartest people you'll ever meet aren't the ones who tell you everything they know. They're the ones who just ask you questions. Hands down, they're the smartest people because they know what they're looking for when they're asking you. They know they're drawn, they're helping you discover something. And so you want to be a parent who asks questions, doesn't just lecture. Focus on trusting God instead of obeying rules. How can we trust God? Connect rules to the heart of what's going on. And if you can't do it, then why is the rule there? If you can't answer the question, it's like, well, it's in the Bible. I'm like, okay, that's good. Now figure out why. Because your kids are wondering why too. Show grace towards misbehavior. It's going to be really important to show grace in those rough moments because that's the moment that you solidify that there is a God of grace in their life. Grace always has truth to it, so it's not that you avoid. You just deal with it a certain way. Problems were opportunities to trust God. And again, that's the idea of your bad moments can be your best if you allow God to use them. So we do all of this with grace. And we just do this. We just plant in us thoughts like, okay, I want to kind of change that. I want to discover that. I want to take a few minutes to invite some parents up here for them to share a little bit about how this works out in their families. So parents, if you want to come up for us, it would be great to have you. And you can either stand or sit, depending on whatever works for you. So as we're talking about this idea of taking this summer to stop, see, celebrate, or and seek the goodness of God, depending on what we're walking through, we need to remember as parents, it just looks different ways for different ones of us. And so Leosha is a single mom and really dedicated to just working hard and loving on her kids. And I asked her if she'd share a few thoughts as a single mom what that looks like.
So, as Pastor Sean said, I am a single mom, and I am a single mom that works full-time. I work about an hour away from where I live, and so our mornings and our evenings are extremely hectic. And so when situations rise, I try to maximize to the best of my ability with the Lord's help on having those teachable moments to draw my children's heart to the heart of the Father. And some examples that, you know, I shared was a storm a couple of days ago, and my daughter is overcoming sleeping with me. She has been sleeping in her own room probably now for about 6 months, but before then, she just turned 8. Before then, it was 2 years that she was sleeping with me, and we discovered that the root of it was fear. And so as this storm rolled in, she was visibly frightened. And at the time, I was cooking, and I had to stop. I had to stop, and I had to share with her the Word of God. I had to share with her that I'm not the protector. God is the protector, and through His Word, he promises to protect us. And so I pointed to her Psalms 91, and we went up to her room, and we sang In the Eye of the Storm. And so within 15 minutes after she read Psalms 91 and took some of her own notes, she was asleep. What I didn't share was that, you know, as a mom, I do want to shield my children from those hard times and from those trials. And I want to be the one to, you know, to keep them from the badness that happens in the world. And when we ride in the car, because we're riding in the car for an hour, that is like our opportunity to see God and to know what God's word says. And there are question askers. And so my daughter asked me, why was the flag at half staff? Because we notice things like that. And I shared with them what happened in Florida. You know, we're not afraid, or I'm not afraid to share the names, and, you know, I shared all about what, you know, ISIS is, and, you know, just everything. And even on, you know, tomorrow is 1 year anniversary to the day that their dad was murdered. And so I can't be one to shield them from those hard times and to point that God is our Father, and He is the one who loves us and cares for us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think Leosha is really someone that I respect greatly as a mom, and I think it's a great example. Like, even just the storm we just had, that idea of how do I stop? Because most of our parenting is when we're too busy, and so we just need to learn that when we have those moments, and asking God to ever help us to recognize the moments, how do I stop in the middle of this and not just manage the situation, but help them see what God can do in the middle of the situation. And I love the idea of the car ride and using that, because as you take time just in what you're giving, God can take those five loaves, two fish of that time, and then even in the midst of the hardest things, how do we seek God's good promise here, because He's going to be faithful. So they're just really, really powerful things, Leosha. Thank you for sharing that. King and Tanika, they've got a middle school and older elementary, and so just wanted them to share a few thoughts off of parenting and what's working for them and thoughts for the summer.
Okay, so listening to the sermon, when we think about stopping and seeing God's grace in real life, it's not unusual for our family to serve in our community and volunteer. King makes some really amazing butter cookies, and it's not unusual for him to make a lot. And so we will put them in bags, and we'll go outside, and the kids will be like, let's go to the Blue House that we've never been to, and we'll go and give the cookies. So we're kind of not used to doing that. But we wanted to stop this summer and really seek God and tie our loving and our serving back to God. And so we decided to intentionally join the family missions trip, and we're really excited about the opportunity to say all of the loving and all of the serving that we're doing, it's because of God. We wanted to tie that back to that.
Yeah, so good.
In connection with that, I mean, like she said, it's real easy to, God's blessed us to be generous, you know what I mean? I'm a community dude. Before we moved out to Chesterfield, we was in Rockville, Virginia. For some of you guys probably don't know where it is, but there is a Rockville, Virginia. But it's very spacious. It's rural. So our neighbors, we had neighbors to the left and the right, but the one on the left had a horse farm. So we didn't have that real close-knit community thing, you know. So moving out this way, I mean, we got neighbors everywhere, you know what I mean? So it's good, you know. This is what we want to be a part of. And our children are 10, 11, and 12, right? So you're right. All right. So I think in conjunction with doing the family mission trip, it's one of those things. It's the commission to go out and to make disciples and to share the word of God. I mean, it's great to be generous, you know, but there is another level, and to be in a position where we can go out and feel like we have the permission, because you need that. Sometimes you're scared, you know what I mean? Sometimes you're scared to say, hey, Jesus is, you know, but man, feeling like you're commissioned to go out and to say to someone that you don't know or someone that remind you of somebody, say, hey, man, you know Jesus is? That's a great thing. And we're also challenging our kids to read more. Last summer we did like this little printout where you can read a chapter every day. So mm-hmm. It's sort of along the same line of Genesis, but it was like all the New Testament books. And they would take that chart, and once they read a chapter, they would sign their initial by. So they did that, and it worked well for a while. But then, you know, as parents, sometimes you get away from things, you know. And so we look into kind of reinstitute that this summer, because it's important that the kids be able to see in the Bible and learn the stories and see where God is and how He's affecting communities in the Bible as well.
Yeah, it's so good. And taking those times, one of the things I really encourage parents is when you try to build whatever rhythm works for you, don't be frustrated if it doesn't work as well as you would like. Just go for it. Go and get what you got. Take the five loaves and two fish of it. And then with ideas like the reading in the Bible, a lot of times you kind of, one of the great boundaries you can put is like, hey, let's make sure this is the Bible reading is done before the TV or something like that. So you're not building an exact time, but you're just given the ability to learn how to exercise a priority in their life. Say, this is what we do before we do that. And that could be a really helpful boundary as you're trying to teach your kids. So really great stuff. And then, of course, you can just serve here right at church this summer. Take a few weeks. Say, hey, we're all going to be greeters on Sunday morning, work in the nursery, or be subs for Sunday school. But those are the moments that God can really use in a big way. So then, of course, we've got Pastor Brandon and Hannah, and they've got the littler ones, and I'll let them share a little bit.
Sure. We're in the process this summer of trying to really define and hone down our family values. There's an author named Mark Batterson who wrote a book called Circle Maker. He also talks about it in his book called What If? Or If? Or something. If something. And so, Hannah's been reading that. It just talks about the importance of just kind of communicating what kind of family did God design you to be. So we're nailing down our list. One of our big ones, though, is from the Joshua 1 passage, that be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you. So we just say a lot, we're courageous people. We're courageous bald ones. And that's a big thing for especially my oldest daughter. She's 6, and that she's very timid, yeah, and cautious and analytical. I don't know where she gets that from. But yeah. But not our second girl. We need to teach her the other word of, like, we don't just do... We don't just go full blast, but definitely our first one. And so I don't know if you want to talk about some of the ways we've done in the summer of just celebrating courage.
Okay. So with Jody, we encourage her to, you know, jump off docks, go on roller coasters, go down slides. I mean, she's very, very timid. So,
So summer gives us the opportunity to really celebrate that. And, yeah, my parents live on the water, and we try to do things to kind of call her out of her shell and then remind her, like, hey, last summer you learned how to swim underwater. You can have that conversation with her friend. She kind of got bullied on the bus this past year, and it was a time to say, you've been brave in other times. You can be brave here. And so we've learned that. I just want to share one more. I didn't share last service, but about the kind of the bad moments and you know, how do you seek God? One of the bad habits that my wife has pleasantly brought up to me is I have a bad habit, especially in a discipline moment, to say, I love you, but. And we don't want our kids to grow up thinking God loves us, but. And it's, I read in a book, it said, the power of replacing but with and not saying that these are competing priorities, they're just two priorities. And so I love you, and we're going to listen to our mother. I love you, and I've really tried to adopt that language. I even have to pause. I love you, and then go into it. But I think that's something I would love for my kids to grow up knowing God loves me, and his law is good, and that's the way they can
really
live.
Terrific. So. I think that's especially for a young family, but any family, developing core values. What is your family about? Are you about courage? Are you about gratitude? Are you about generosity? Are you about curiosity? Are you about perseverance? What are some of those words that you want to make important in your house, and maybe have different things that remind you of that word in your house? Because we need to remember, and I don't think there's just no way you can grow a kid up in Christ and not teach him to be courageous. Because if they're not courageous, then they'll just compromise. And so, you know, those are words that are important to us, and how do you reiterate that? The other one, too, and I know the Baldwins do this a lot, is, you know, one of the things we're celebrating for us as the God who is joy is one of our things that we're going to try this year is Tuesday nights, definitely a night. I usually don't have anything. I try not to schedule it. And so we are, for the summer, going to make Tuesday night family dance night. And so what we're doing, and this should be hilarious because we've done it a few times already, is each of the kids get to pick a kind of dance for all of us to learn. And we're just gonna, yeah. So I wake up in the morning and I, yeah, we've already done that one. I forget all the rest, but thank you. And we just, it's hilarious. I'm like 5 steps behind everybody else because I still don't know it. And what we do as a family, though, is we just celebrate being a family. And right after this service, we go to see Sarah's folks for Father's Day. We're up there for a week. And so Tuesday night is family dance night, and he's the Smiths know, the Pfisters, and they're from Erie, Pennsylvania. They're big polka people. So our first official summer dance night is the polka. So this Tuesday. So it's going to be fun. So if you got an accordion and you're in York, Pennsylvania, just join us. And I know the ball wins, you know, with their kids. They dance all the time. And I think it's just a matter of joy. You know, it's a matter of saying, hey, we got these days. We get to do this. Let's celebrate, even as crazy and as hard as life is. Let's remember that God is good. So can we say thank you to all our parents? Thank you for sharing. Thanks, Teresa. King, you all right? Well, let's just close in a word of prayer. Would you stand with me? May this be a summer of growing closer to God and having some great memories together as a family. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the refreshing of this day, the joy that together, Lord, we could, Father, know you more, that impressed on our kids could be joy, could be your faithfulness in the midst of trouble, could be your hand and fingerprints all over life. Lord, let that be who we are. I'm going to ask before we pray the Lord's Prayer, if you need to rededicate your personal life to Jesus Christ, because we can't model what we don't have. But if you need to take a moment and say, Lord, would you renew within me my love for you? Would you teach me in a fresh way to worship you? Would you take a moment and make that rededication in your heart? This is a season to reconnect with him like never before. As you're doing that, there might be someone here who's never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you need to make that decision today. So I'm going to ask, if you're here and you know that maybe it's your parents' faith or your family's faith, but it's not your faith, and today you're just even sensing as you're talking about family and talking about what could be good and right, that you need Jesus Christ to come into your life and give you peace and begin to truly be his follower, to know peace with him because of his forgiveness. I'm just going to ask you, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you, would you just raise your head and look up at me and just raise your hand so I know that you've made that decision today to follow Christ and have a personal relationship with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else who needs to make that decision today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this moment of decision. Lord, you are a good, good Father, and you're bringing us into a family. And salvation isn't just about getting forgiven of bad things we've done. It's also about coming back into the family we've always supposed to have. Thank you for these decisions that have been made today. And I pray for each of these women that you would bless them. Father, we ask today, all of us afresh and anew, Lord, forgive us of our sin. Help us to know your love again. Lord, guide us back to the joy that is in you and the peace that comes from you. And teach us now to seek you each day. Lord, we ask all of this, Father, rejoicing in heaven for a fresh decision for Christ, both for the first time and many of us in this room hearing your call. Lord, we do all this now, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you as you make this a summer of growing closer to God. For those who accepted Christ, please join us in the Connection Center. And God bless all of you as you go.